Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another brand spanking new episode of Glamour, Hey, It's Okay, the podcast where we really sort of like take a deep dive into what it's really like to be at a Glamour Features meeting. Today, we're going to be talking about relationships. Can they ever be too comfortable? Is it okay to not really be good at something or anything? And is it all right to not have any interest in that thing that the whole world seems to be boring on about? Oh my God, I think you might already know my opinion. Today, though, we are sort of like going to be exposed. We've got somebody here who actually knows what they're doing. So stay tuned. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to, I think we must be budding up to nearly the 50th episode of Glamour Hey, It's Okay. Somebody who knows what they're doing, count that. Claudia Mahoney.
Am I the person who knows what they're
doing? Do you know what you're doing?
Yes.
You are the aptly titled Executive Fashion and Beauty Director of Glamour, so I expect you to know things.
Okay, all right. The pressure's on.
And today we are joined by an actual professional. This is like, I don't know, like camping with Bear Grylls or cooking for Jamie Oliver. It's Radio 1's Greg James.
Hello.
Hi.
This is a great setup.
I can't believe how high we've had to put your microphone.
I'm just really impressed that for all the listeners, we are standing up around a table like it's an old-fashioned radio play. It's great. I love
it. Less of the old-fashioned.
This is
This is our cutting-edge, new, modern podcast. Yeah, what are you on about?
Yeah, but the wireless is the most brilliant personal medium ever. This is the intimate little desk. We're all facing each other. It's lovely.
You have hit upon one of my favorite things. Is calling it the wireless. I love it.
Welcome to the wireless broadcast.
So you're here. You're a tip-top radio person every day on Radio 1. Drive time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
4 p.m.
I always hear it when I'm on holiday.
I
look forward to the going home song when I'm on holiday. normally I'm at my desk, obviously. And today you're here because you are also an author.
I am also an author. This is exciting. Yes. I have a children's book which comes out on the 13th of July. Kid Normal. And I've written it with my brilliant friend and co-host on my show, Chris Smith. And we started writing it 2 years ago, and it's finally out. It comes out and it's a real thing.
So, not being rude, but it took two of you 2 years. Tell me about that. How many pages is it?
From initial conception of the idea.
How big is the type?
Yeah, it's a picture book with three pictures in it.
Yeah.
Well, from about 2 years ago, we came up with this idea, and we always do silly stuff on our show together, and we always do stupid ideas and characters and stupid voices and stuff. And then we thought, let's formalize this. Let's do something that we can also encourage young people to keep reading and write their own stories and that kind of thing, because we thought that was so important when we were kids, and we love reading now, but also loved, you know, coming up with nonsense and actually doing stuff on the radio. As I said, it is a sort of most personal medium, and you do half the work and then the listeners or the readers do the other half. So we love that thing about a book as well. So we came up with this idea called Kid Normal, which is about a young boy called Murph who gets put into a school for superheroes. And he has no superpowers himself. It's a Mickey take of superhero stories because there's so many of them. There's so many superheroes.
It's like we're both parents. He probably, you know, sort of like flouted some sort of boundary laws to get into that you know, sort of like pretendedly live with his grandfather who was a superhero. in that
the catchment. Yeah. Do you go to church? Yeah. All the time.
Exactly.
We're basically never not in the church.
So you should have had some research in this
book. I've told my children that I'm the fairy queen, and that, you know, the bit where you bend your arm back and your shoulder blade sticks out, that those are my wing buds. And my eldest is 8. She still believes it, hook, line and sinker. So I have subscribed to the false lies.
That's it. But so this is the mum keeps moving jobs. And in the last few days before term starts, she's scrabbling around to try and find a school. There's a mix-up, and this kid, Murph, gets put into this school. And 3 days in, they realise he has no superpowers, but it's too late by that point. And he has to try and survive in this place full of mad kids who have got these capabilities. We call them capes or capabilities instead of superpowers, where they can do things like summon two tiny horses from their hands, or their heads inflate by accident, or another part of their body will inflate, like their hand might blow up or something, or whatever it might be, or they can turn someone to ice, or they can fly, whatever it might be. So it's sort of it's a disguised story about not fitting in.
Yeah.
And when you move to big school, everyone is just sort of amazing, and you feel like you're rubbish and just small, and you're a bit lost in the whole thing. So we thought we'd magnify that story and make it as mad as possible.
Were you a cool kid at school, Greg?
No, not really. The thing that made me cool is that I was quite good at sport, so I was really good at cricket. So I would have one thing, which meant that I sort of floated around a little bit.
Yeah.
Because if you weren't really sporty, then people were like, oh, what do you do? But because I was really good at something, because I was quite good at cricket, I was sort of left alone a little bit. But then when the winter came, I could just sort of hibernate and let everyone go and play football and rugby and stuff, and then just go and sit around and listen to the radio.
Not good at cricket or anything, really.
Sport.
Yeah.
Disaster.
Exactly. I couldn't even find trousers that fit properly, so you know, school was a living nightmare for me.
But it is yeah. I remember that feeling really well, and me and Chris both tapped into this when we were thinking about it. And that first day where you are in the corridor and you've got your new bag and you've got all your new clothes and stuff, and you're going, where do I go now? Where's E? Where's 7F or whatever? Yeah. And everyone's just sort of hurtling past you like a stampede, and you're going, I don't know how I'm going to survive in this place. How am I going to ever be a sixth former? I remember that vividly, that thought. I was like, how am I ever going to be driving a car and be that tall? But hey,
yeah,
and both
look
of
at you now,
are.
You're extremely tall. Now, I always, when I was, when she was younger, and I'd read children's books to my daughter, and I'd think, it seems like the stories are so good, it seems like it must be the easiest thing in the world to write a children's book. And then when you actually sit down and try to have an idea, it's really damn hard, right?
Yeah, it
is. What was the process like?
Well, it is really hard to actually be disciplined to sit and write it. But I think we benefited from doing it together, because me and him, Chris, get on really well anyway. So we were essentially sitting in a room together for hours on end trying to make each other laugh. So that's quite handy. You've got an immediate audience to go, I think that's not very funny or whatever. But yeah, it is hard. But I think you just got to, like anything, you know, if you're writing an article or whatever it might be, you've just got to sit down and do it.
It's a real bummer that you've got to sit down and do it.
It is hard. Yeah.
I actually, James Williams, our deputy editor, is producing today, and I owe him some copy, and I can feel the glaring through the glass, and I don't want to do it.
Yeah, but
I don't want to.
But the thing is, though, you do outrank him.
Yeah, I know.
So in many ways.
You'd think that would work, wouldn't you? But no. Sometimes I have to ask the chief sub if I can go for lunch. Can I go now, Glenda? Sorry, please.
But it is daunting, though, to have a task like that. But we planned it quite well, and we just thought, well, let's just do 1,000 words this week, let's do 2,000 next week, and then it's slowly but surely. But it's also enjoyable. You know, when you do eventually sit down and write your copy, which is late, and James has told me to.
I know,
you.
Oh my God.
But when you do eventually write it, it's an enjoyable thing when you get your head into gear. But
children are tough critics, though, aren't they? Yeah. So getting that right tone that you don't feel like you're being condescending to them and, oh, I'm coming down to your level.
Yeah.
That must be really hard. You must be really in touch with your inner kid.
I think so, but me and Chris really love silly stuff. we really like silly sense of humour, so we drew on everything that we've ever watched or read. So everything from Python, which I'm obsessed with, and you know, even Fawlty Towers and those sorts of silly things. Spike Milligan, like, just it's all silly, really. It's not necessarily, it's not for a particular age group. And I've got a bit of a beer in my bonnet about, especially the BBC and Radio 1 are a bit like, well, young people don't like this and old people only like that. And young people don't know about Michael Palin. It's like, well, yes, they sort, they can, some do, some don't. You can't ignore everything because everything is sort of a product of
and let
of
people find, let people discover it through of you. Course, do you know what I mean? Did you, I mean, obviously you're a guy and the protagonist is a boy. Did you, is it aimed at boys more than girls?
Or it's
how
not
did
actually.
You tackle that?
Our main brilliant heroic character is a girl called Mary, actually, who sort of becomes Murph's best friend and sidekick, but also she just is the best character in the book, really. And I'm particularly proud of Mary because she's essentially, well, we describe her as Mary Poppins, but nobody it's never brought up in the book because she flies in on a yellow umbrella and she's just amazing and knows everything about everything.
Hopefully that's been very vetted in the
book. It has, yeah. Which I think we put something like, and Mary, who I think Murph has a joke with Mary about, says, what, so you're Mary and you fly with an umbrella. Do you know about Mary Poppins? And she doesn't know about it at all.
No, never heard of it. What do you mean? This is just a coincidence.
But it's not aimed at boys. It's aimed at both. It's aimed at everybody, really. It's for everyone, and I think adults would enjoy reading it as well because it's not. It's silly, and there's bits for everybody in it.
And are you looking at the David Walliams empire with sort of coveted envy? Are we looking at a series or?
Yeah, we've actually written the second one already. Cool. So we've done two so far with Bloomsbury, and the second one comes out next March, which we've just sort of tidying up.
God, you're on fire!
Yeah, but it's been really fun. And once we had the world of the first one created, it was really amazing to go back and be like, okay, now what do we do with it? Because we've got our characters,
and a lot of decisions are sort of made for you about what. Yeah,
but that Walliams thing is absolutely spot on. I mean, he is a brilliant advocate for kids reading. I think that anyone who gets kids reading and using their imaginations and takes them away from a screen is really brilliant.
Is it all right that I really like reading David Walliams books?
Yeah, they're great.
I mean, they're so Roald Dahl-y, aren't they? They're so...
Yeah, but they are brilliant.
Yeah, really funny.
But a lot of thought's gone into them, and I think he's just he's very clever in that they're really uncynical, which I love. Yeah. And I think that's my favourite sense of humour, is an uncynical thing. I just watched Despicable Me 3 the other day.
Oh,
just so
good.
Uncynical and brilliant and silly and just exactly what everyone needs.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, congratulations. It's out 13th of July, did you say?
Yes.
So, yes, I'm not sure what date it is today. But
Who knows?
When you're listening to this, it might be the 50th of November or something.
It might
be. But 13th of July.
And if it is, happy 50th of November to you all.
Yeah.
Shoelace has been tied. We can continue in
James,
5, 4.
James is fully dressed now, so we can all carry on. Greg James, is it okay to not be good at particularly anything? Do you know what I mean? I feel like I'm not a specialist at anything. You know?
You?
Yeah.
Is this not a confession?
Yeah. You know, well, this is my big secret. Don't know how to do anything.
I think there's a lot of pressure for people to have a thing.
Yeah.
But the most brilliant people don't really have a thing. They just are, you know, they just... I don't think that you don't need to be defined by a thing necessarily. People are a bit obsessed with it. They go, well, what's your thing?
Yeah,
well, I'm amazing at rugby.
That's what I mean.
But you have, I mean, you know, you're doing quite well.
You've done all right, Joe, to be fair.
Well, I mean, you know, we kind of all are. And I think, I don't know. I suppose, I do this job, sort of magazine editor, but I don't know. I look back and I think, I wish I had, you know, bothered to stay in more than one tap dance class or
practice the piano.
Do you know what I mean? I keep writing editors letters about how I'm going to learn a language, and I've never ever, I mean, you know, I think I listened to Duolingo, the app, for half an hour one day.
I love that stuff.
If you were to write your CV, what would you put in your sort of like
your
extra
cricket, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that when you, this is, I do get sad about when you get older, you do lose your hobbies a little bit.
Even the word.
I know, right? But like,
what are your hobbies, Greg?
Well, but exactly. Someone asked me the other day, and I was like, "Well, I mean, I've made most of them into jobs."
Yeah.
But you're
very lucky that way, I guess.
I like going out for dinner. Is that a hobby?
I know. I like eating. Yeah.
I like hanging out with my niece and nephew, and sort of. I like reading. Reading is a hobby, I suppose. And that's, you don't have to, not everyone has to go and do water polo.
Yeah.
Or you don't have to be, I go orienteering every Saturday. Is that what you're saying?
I wish I had something completely surprising in my toolbox. Do you know what I mean? I want to be a
taekwondo expert.
Yeah,
or...
I want people to be really shocked by something I can do, but there's nothing shocking about anything.
There must be something.
No, see, now you're making me feel even worse because no, there really isn't.
You're making me feel sad in the room.
I think that's fair. And I think also the older you get, the more embroiled in your day-to-day life you get, and there seem to be less hours to do the sort of Tuesday afternoon
but I suppose
origami club or
I was
whatever
thinking
it might
about
be.
I get, you know, I sort of feel sad that my daughter starts a piano and gives it up, starts a dance class and gives it up, and then I thought, but I didn't stick at anything when I was a kid either, so why am I giving her a hard time,
you know? Yeah, but it's whatever she enjoys, though. Maybe she doesn't enjoy it. I did piano. I think everyone did piano lessons, didn't they? Like, nah, I've got enough of this.
I can do chopsticks. Yeah.
But I suppose whether or not it gives you a sense of worth as well and makes you your confidence and you feel sort of a valid human grown-up person that you've got this skill set that maybe marks you out from the next person along. And if you're just sort of average at everything, you almost feel like you have to hide that.
I don't think you should. I think everyone should just be as loud about who they are as possible.
Do you know, I'm mediocre.
You know, do you know what I'm really good at? I'm really good at shopping. So good at it. So freaking good. You can ask me anything. Joe, where can I get this kind of thing? I'll tell you.
That's why you're editing a fashion and beauty
magazine. Yeah, maybe.
But that's a thing.
That's a skill.
Is that a thing.
Editing a magazine is a skill. Writing is a skill. You can do all of those things. And above average.
Wow, this is
and fitness.
This is turning into therapy for Joe.
Yeah, this is quite well. It often is therapy. The podcast. Yeah.
But my radio show is my therapy every day. Yeah. I mean, I would be lost without my show for sure. Because you can talk about whatever you like.
And it is, and you get because you have people call in, right? Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of sort of validation and feedback.
I have a thing called Rage Against the Answer Machine, which actually it brings up topics like this, which is it okay not to really have a thing?
Yeah,
it's a great question because everyone's so obsessed with having a thing and being. I think a lot of people are obsessed with what their life looks like online as well, and that creates a lot of stress for people.
Yes.
So if you do something amazing, like, oh, I climb mountains at the weekend, or like I do kayaking in Wales every weekend, that looks amazing, but it doesn't mean that, you know, your thing is. My thing might be I like cooking nice dinners.
Yeah,
doesn't mean it's any less relevant as a thing.
Yeah,
I think there's too much stress on having a thing.
Oh, that's making me feel better. And I think again, it's this evil root of social media that does it. It does make me think, you know, especially if you look at Facebook and if you've got someone who's, you know, acting on a stage somewhere or has usually climbed a mountain or the other thing, you won't know this, but you might, but Claudia, where you start to get jealous of other people's kids, like the kid who just ran a marathon. Why isn't my kid running a marathon? You know, it's like, so I've got all of that by extension as well.
Yeah, I think it's really dangerous. Yeah. It's really, really dangerous. But it's...
Well, how then do you find that sort of inner confidence to just be and just be happy with that?
Well, I was hoping you can tell me.
Oh, I don't know the answer to that.
I think I
tell us, Greg.
I think I realised it.
We're looking at you, wide eyes.
Well,
come on.
I did read an amazing book that sort of changed a lot of things about a year ago called A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. Have you heard of this guy?
I've heard of it, but I haven't read it.
It's brilliant. Yeah. He's just basically, if I could condense it all into a couple of words, it's chill out. Chill out because we'll all be dead at some point, and just you might as well just make the most of stuff.
Oh well, I feel so much better now.
No, that makes me feel worse. That makes me feel worse because if this is it, and well, it is. This, oh God, it is it.
And this is the end.
And you've only got so many years on this earth. Then you feel really bad that if you've wasted a day watching The Sound of Music for the 57th time.
No, so his point is, were you happy doing that?
God, I love that film.
Right, then that's it. And it doesn't mean any more or less than that, is that you're just doing the stuff you were doing.
So being a sloth is an acceptable life skill.
I think people aren't very good at being, and I'm getting better at just being.
What an absolute guru you are turning out to be today.
You are welcome.
I feel really good now.
Namaste.
Just chill out.
Now I should probably put my clothes back on.
No, don't.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, Greg James, next hot topic that you get to, you know, basically you prove yourself so wise at the last one that we're just going to sit at your feet and just hear what you've got to say on the subject of, is it okay to stay in a relationship because it's comfortable?
Oh, this is my biggest life lesson ever. Absolutely not.
Oh my God, we're actually really going to learn something here.
Okay.
Carry on.
No, it's, you really shouldn't do that. It's not fair on either party, is what I would say. And I know a lot of people who just go through the motions or have gone through the motions, and it's what's the point?
Now, is it a rude question? How old are you?
31 years old.
Yeah, see, such a baby. I mean, this is it. And now I want to preface this. I don't view my relationship as comfortable in that negative way. I just really want to put that out there. Hi, Ross, my number one podcast fan. He listens every week so adoringly. I love that.
Ross, Joe's nose is growing. Yeah. Just let you know.
That's just glistening sweat in the hot, hot cupboard.
She chose her face over her ass.
Oh, my ass was always in front. But anyway, so I just think that as you get older, dear Greg and dear Claudia, I think you do find that when I was younger, when I was about your age, and people used to say, oh, you know, marriage is hard work, you know, you don't really understand that until I think I've been with Ross now about 20-something years, and it ain't all roller coasters and fireworks. And I think that, so I would not arguing for or stay in something if you're unhappy, but I think be prepared that sometimes there's going to be boring days and sometimes there's going to be better times and worse times. And I think that sometimes people don't invest the work before running away. Do you know what I mean?
Kindness and security are underrated sexy qualities.
She said
I've been
better.
Married 12 years. As well. And not as long as Joe, but you know, hi to my husband who probably won't be listening. He's not even heard of WhatsApp.
He's taller than you, Greg.
Who is taller than you? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I've heard about this mythical beast. This mythical beast of a husband.
Yeah. But you know, I can speak freely. You know, sometimes you don't like each other very much.
Sometimes.
And you've just got to hope that those periods of times where you don't like the other one don't coincide with the other one not liking you so that you've got time to fall back in love with each other, which you probably do over time. And you have periods of time in your relationship that, you know, you've been married, you've seen it all. I mean, he's seen me give birth. There's no hiding from that now. I've got no kind of, oh, I'm just going to go and put some slinky outfit on, or much as he wishes I would still try. But, you know, you've been too exposed. So you are comfortable. And that, I don't think, is a bad thing. I think he's my most wonderful world.
Great. No, that's amazing. And but that doesn't mean, I don't think that means you're comfortable.
Okay.
I think that word is loaded. Comfortable. Okay. I think you could change that to just going along with something.
Okay.
I think that's my understanding of comfortable.
Yeah.
Obviously, you want to feel. I think if you could come up with a definition of love, it would be some sort of like it's a team, like an impenetrable team. I think that's what the feeling that you should get. I think.
Yeah.
But no one knows the answers to this stuff, do they? This is the eternal question. This is what every song is about. It's what every film is about. Every book is about this kind of stuff.
And but I think that it is hard, isn't it, to where comfortable, I think it is a very loaded word, as you say. And I think some people might be really panicking that they're comfortable and loading negativity onto something that otherwise is really good if they didn't overthink it.
Yeah, but that's, I think also, not to sound too short-termist, actually, this is quite a nice way of thinking about it. It was like, am I okay today with it?
Yeah.
Is this okay? And I'm, you know, am I enjoying this right now? Don't worry about how you're going to feel in 5 years' time necessarily.
Mm.
But I think people do settle and they get into a sort of a, by 25, I must have done this. And
yes.
Then 28, I'll be pregnant. And 30, we'll be married. And then that's it. And some, I think that can be dangerous because you can't fit.
Greg just did such a great jig with that. The relationship jig.
That's it. It's my relationship song. 25, we're married. But I think you can't possibly fit everyone into that model. So that's, I think that's the comfortable thing, is that you feel like you have to
No one person can be your everything as well. Or I think that's pretty unhealthy.
Mm.
So I have friends that provide certain...
Really?
I do. I've got some friends, joking. Can you believe?
Your husband definitely doesn't listen to this, does he? He will this week.
They're not friends with any benefits.
Sure. We didn't suggest they were. You brought that up.
I walked into that myself, yeah, didn't
you brought
I?
The topic up.
God, I'm going red now as well. It's the heat of the cupboard.
I just don't know what to say. But I think, all right, so yeah, I don't know the answer to this one. I think this is going to be an open-ended.
It's not okay if you're bored and feeling trapped and you accept you're in a comfortable situation that you know you're looking outside of already.
Yeah, I think the dangerous thing
if you're happy and, in inverted commas, comfortable, then that's different.
If you're happy, why would you why would you change
it? If you want to fart openly in front of each other,
that's not okay.
It's nobody else's business. I'm just saying.
I think the comfortable thing, though, is if you are... In a relationship that you know you shouldn't be in, and you know that you are just too scared to say I don't want this anymore, then that's the weird moment where you've got to go, it's not fair on me, it's not fair on them, definitely, because everyone will be fine. In the long run, you'll both be better off.
Yeah, I think that's very wise.
Wise Greg has answered it for us again.
So if you are enjoying Glamour Hates OK, and we know that you are, thank you so much for listening in, and thank you for your reviews on iTunes. Do keep them coming. But you can also add to the conversation if you want to hear your topic debated and, you know, people shouting at me about it on here, then please do send your Hey It's OK ideas and suggestions to editor@glamourmagazine.co.uk. We read them all. Thank you. Greg James, you're nearly free.
I'm enjoying it. I feel like it is like therapy, isn't it?
It is a group bit therapy. This one, I don't know. I think this one might be a little bit easier to tackle. But is it okay to have no interest whatsoever in that thing that the whole world is seemingly talking about?
Yes.
Hashtag Love Island at the moment. This is driving me crazy.
Well, if it is the 50th of November, then the winner could have already been announced.
We talking about a show specific, or are we talking about Love Island?
I think just everything. But we can talk about Love Island, even though I've got nothing to contribute. Because I haven't seen
it. I do.
Yeah.
I think it goes back to what we talked about 10 minutes ago or so, which is the pressure to do everything.
Yeah.
And there is pressure. But for me... When Breaking Bad came out, for example, that was the one that I remember as going, oh God, shut up, which is people just going, oh my God, have you seen Breaking Bad? And you go, oh no, I haven't yet. They go, you haven't seen Breaking Bad? Well, oh my God, you haven't seen it? No, I haven't seen it yet.
I hated all those people because I'd watched it 2 years before everybody. And then I had to sit through everybody pretending that they'd discovered it when I knew that I had. It was me.
So it was actually you. Yeah. You're the root of it all.
Totally.
Oh, no, it's all your fault.
Well, you know, it's a very good show. Have you seen it?
Have you seen it now?
Do you know what? I watched the first season and I just couldn't be bothered. But no one's allowed to say that. Like, I thought The Wire was shit as well.
Nobody is allowed to say that.
Sorry, I'm swearing. Are you allowed to swear on this?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I thought The Wire
was
terrible.
A good thing that you and I aren't married, because the sofas were, you know, it would just, the winter nights would not fly by.
No, this goes back to the comfortable relationships. Well, maybe our love of box sets is what's getting us through.
But I watched it, but it's also okay not to like everything.
Yes.
Because people go, you have watched Breaking Bad, you didn't like it. What's wrong with you? Nothing. I've just got an opinion. It's different to yours. Why do you like it? It's as mad as saying that. But Love Island, for me, the thing that is, what's most annoying about Love Island is people who are coming out of the woodwork slowly. And people like, I saw a tweet from Stormzy and Liam Gallagher going, I've done it, guys. I've watched Love Island. Oh, well done. It's like, it's an ITV2 show. So what? It's not a massive secret that you're watching Love Island. It's fine. Like, do whatever you like.
Now, I haven't watched it, and mostly because I just haven't had time.
Right,
because
fine.
I'm really feeling left out in the office. I'm the only one who hasn't seen it. And so that's it. All conversation is dead to me. But what I am finding interesting, maybe it's because the political landscape is so sketchy and horrible at the moment. It does seem to be this great leveling thing that's uniting the nation where our politicians can't. So yeah. Maybe
I am watching it. I've been out and proud for 3 seasons now.
I'm really, I watched it before it was here.
I'm like Joe, I found it. No, but I have to say, each time over the last 3 years, I've sort of sat down and thought, I'm not going to, oh my God, I am watching this. I cannot stop. And I like to think that I've got a modicum of intelligence. I'm very much subscribed to the high-low cultural thing. And it's exactly what Joe says. My 6'8" husband is a policeman. He's genuinely is. He's not been having.
I'm panicking now.
She mentioned it.
He's very poor children.
Is this because are you warning me off because I joked that you were having threesomes earlier? Is this why? Yeah, I get it. I'm really sorry. Please don't send your husband around to beat me.
You've got to try harder, Ben.
Why were you hoping to be invited? It's not been a fun time for him, and so we're trying to use the excuse that we're using this sort of mindless bubblegum for the eyes as an escape from real life. And we are saying that, but it is also the truth. And watching people discussing whether or not are we looking at the same moon as the one my mum's looking at home, and their partner saying, no, babes, that's a different moon. It does make you chuckle and feel better about your...
That. Really? It's too...
I cannot cope.
Too much.
They're not hurting anyone, though. They're just sort of stupid people with very low body fat.
Did somebody really ask if they were looking at the same moon?
I think so. Well, am I right, James? You watch it as well.
That makes me want to lie down and never get back up again. I don't want the world to like that thing that I'm not interested in.
Oh, but it has become a sort of more, as time goes on, you do develop and commit and invest in the characters that they've got in there. They're not stupid, these producers. And there's a girl in there who, she's become like a sort of national sweetheart. You know, she's this really nice girl and she wants to find love and she's a
welcome
decent
to my world,
human
Greg.
Being.
This is what it's like in the office every day.
I want him to be Camilla's best friend. Yeah. I want to get together with Montana. Why can't the girls get together and be like winners friends? It's just, you know, you do get invested in it. Sorry.
No, but I think this is what I'm saying is that you don't need to, I don't think anyone should apologise for watching
I'm enjoying the bubblegum.
Yeah.
No, I do think that when you've talked about it for 4 hours solid, you do need to apologise.
Yeah, maybe there should be other things to talk about as well. Because your point about it being tricky politically at the moment, it's like, that's more reason why people should be watching Newsnight as well. Maybe we should be more...
You can, it's on at 10 afterwards.
But I'm like what you said about the high and the low thing. I'm a strong advocate of, you've got to read The Mirror, you've got to read The Times and The Guardian, you should read everything really to get the proper round of view. Like, you should be watching... You should watch Panorama and also watch Love Island and Geordie Shore and Big Brother.
No, drawing the line at Geordie Shore. Beth Ferrell.
But to know everything about stuff, why wouldn't you want to know everything about everything is what I think. But
I'm going to put myself in that really sort of safe intellectual camp, okay?
I think that's fine.
Does that excuse me now?
I love trashy stuff as well. But my thing is, if you don't just watch trashy stuff. This is the thing.
Line
about,
of Duty was too much for the palpitations. I had to sort of bring. It's a great show, right? Yeah.
But I think people do get hooked onto one thing.
Yeah.
Like, there was one week on the official chart that Ed Sheeran was the only artist in the top 10. Yeah. And I love Ed and he's brilliant. But don't just listen to Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
No, listen to there's loads of other stuff as well. And then everyone's like, oh, I just love Ed Sheeran now. Yeah, but there's loads of other. Don't just watch Love Island. Don't just do one thing.
You don't have enough hours in the day. You've got to commit to one programme.
Yeah, that's it. My life is Love Island and Ed Sheeran. That's it. Goodbye.
That's all you need, really, isn't it? Imagine Ed Sheeran on Love Island.
The universe would implode.
Oh, my goodness. That's the thing. I could be, you know, I should be doing this.
Yeah.
It's a matter of time. That would be the biggest pop culture moment ever.
They do a celebrity one every now and again, don't they?
Mm.
No, that's how it was. Wasn't that how it was? I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I think it started as one.
With Paul Dunan.
And Abby Titmuss and Callum Best, am I right?
All the big names.
Yeah.
Have you ever done any shows like that?
I walked straight into that one.
You can still apply to Love Island. Yeah, do you know that?
Sure. Yeah. I would love to do Love Island. I'd love to do.
There'd be no comfortable relationships there. I'll tell you that.
I'll just do the whole year of them. I could do Love Island. Yeah. Then I'll pop into the jungle. Yeah. Get my tap shoes on. Do Strictly.
That I would love to do.
What else? Whatever else there is. Yeah. Let's do all of them.
You could do a whole circuit. You could do nothing else.
Yeah.
Some people do.
Yeah. Be a multi-millionaire. I'd have double the amount of Instagram followers.
Yeah.
Maybe it's worth it.
It's too much hard work, these book business. I've got it sorted for you.
Yeah, see, let's not bother creating
anything.
This is
Joe and I's advice. No. This is our career advice for you in return for your wisdom.
I don't know if... I've forgotten what we were talking about. And I don't know if it's okay or not. But, I feel like I've watched Love Island. So maybe it's okay if you hear enough of what everybody is talking about that you can just pretend that you know what they're talking about. Maybe that's the answer.
Well, what's the thing that you have not watched but everyone's told you to watch?
I've not seen The Wire.
Right, don't bother, it's boring.
Okay, thank you. Apparently it's quite hard to understand what they're saying as well.
I keep saying it because of Joe's face. You keep rolling your eyes about The Wire. Why do you like The Wire so much? You can't understand it.
I was late to the party with Game of Thrones.
Because I feel really, really clever when everybody else says they can't understand it.
I have the same argument.
I'll be honest.
I have the same argument with my sister. She says, just because you're too thick to understand it. No, it's because it was... Okay, it's a bit of that.
No one could be too thick to understand Love Island.
Yeah. Well, I think there are a few.
Yeah.
They're on it.
And Glow is the other one that's really dividing the office at the moment. We're having arguments about whether that's good or not. I'm definitely in camp good. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen Glow.
It's ladies wrestling, Greg. You'll love it.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about this. Yeah. Is it? You like it?
I love it.
Okay.
Yeah. Mark Maron's very funny. I've seen the first episode.
Mm. Anyway, we're really going off piece now. I don't know. I think, Greg, you're the podcast guest today. You tell us, what's the answer to, is it okay to not know about that thing that everybody else is going on about?
Yes.
It's all up to you. Yeah.
It's okay. Don't get wrapped up in something just because you think you should. It's peer pressure. It's the ultimate peer pressure.
Just chill out, everyone.
Just chill out.
Yeah.
And do whatever you want to do.
But like that clever book said, just chill out.
Just chill out. Condensed into one page.
Hey, thanks so much for being here today.
It's been a pleasure.
We have very much enjoyed your pod cupboard company, and you will be continuing on Radio 1 every day.
I will.
Go and buy Kid Normal, out now in all good bookstores.
And keep buying Glamour.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Greg.
Yeah.
I think it's important to say that.
Thanks, Greg.
And thanks for the great night tonight at the Glamour Awards.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, well, you know where we are. We're there every June. You're always welcome.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.